Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. And here is your host, Ryan Mack.
Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. Now, while taking a look back at 2020, it was undoubtedly a year of uncertainty. However, the story is quite the opposite when taking a look at the ACH network. Now, on this episode, I'm going to be joined by Mike Hurd, who is the Senior Vice President at the ACH Network Administration, and Sarah Grotta, who is the Director of the Debit and Alternative Products Advisory Service at Mercator Advisory Group, as they break down the ACH transaction volumes and value for ACH and same-day ACH for 2020, and we'll also get into how the ACH network is well-positioned to be the backbone for the payments industry for today's needs and tomorrow. So there's certainly a lot of information to unpack on today's episode. So without any further delays, let's start the show. So Mike and Sarah, thank you so much for joining me on today's episode, where we're going to be taking a look back at the ACH network, and particularly the year 2020, which was certainly a very interesting and I think kind of a stellar year for the ACH network here in particular. And we've got this fantastic infographic that's provided to us by your organization, Mike, that's really kind of breaking down ACH volume and value here. So perhaps maybe kind of starting at the top here, where we're taking a look at transactions and totals and volume and value, maybe you could kind of break down some of those stats and really kind of highlight what the relevance is of that data that we're taking a look at here in this infographic.
Well, sure, Ryan. I guess I'll just kind of start at the top, which is that, despite everything else going on in the world, or maybe because of, it was actually a record setting year for payment volume moving over the ACH network. It was the first time that payment volume increased from one year to the next by more than 2 billion payments, with the grand total coming out to close to 27 billion for the calendar year. So that's, billion with a B, equates to about 81 ACH payments for every person in the US in 2020. So, like I said at the start, that maybe it's, due to some of the impacts of the pandemic, certainly ACH has been in a high growth phase, over the past 5 years or so, even before the events of 2020. And, in normal times, we would expect impacts on the economy to translate into similar impacts on use of the payment system. If there are fewer payroll payments, if there are fewer purchases, if there are fewer, business to business types of supply chain payments or fewer bill payments, that typically translate into similar types of impacts on the payment system. But that is not what we saw in 2020, as we saw a lot of shifting patterns of economic activity, as we saw some forms of activity and assistance payments compensate for other types of hits. And this is where, for example, unemployment benefit payments, economic assistance payments, and other types of assistance payments to the economy more than made up for the loss of payments due to the impacts on payrolls. And then just the overall shift for consumers and businesses and other types of organizations that found the use of checks and check writing, and also, let's call it, check delivery and receipt through the U.S. mail to be much more highly problematic in 2020 than it has been in previous years. So that there was an extra drive or an extra incentive to finding new ways to make payments electronically and remotely.
Yeah, I'm taking a look at your recent announcement, and I have a press release in front of me, and I think it's really interesting some of the details that you provide in some of the specific categories where you're seeing a lot of growth. So, you explain sort of what's happening with direct deposit. I mean, with everything that's going on with the government payments, the unemployment benefits and other types of assistance, that makes a ton of sense to see an increase there. I thought the one around internet-initiated consumer payments for bills and other types of payments was kind of interesting. You noted an increase there of 15%. And I was wondering, we noticed that there's actually a decline in bill payment for a while there, as, you know, a lot of consumers got hit with, you know, a loss of a job or a loss of a certain percentage of their income. And so we saw, you know, bill deferments or people who just simply didn't pay their bills. Since we're now seeing sort of an increase, do you think that's an indicator that perhaps that situation is getting a little bit better and consumers are starting to pay their bills and get caught up?
Yes, Sarah, that's a great observation. And you're right, both from a look at previous data, but also, you know, the data that we're issuing right now. In the category that represents what you would think of as to be recurring bill payments for things like your, you know, mortgages, rents, other loans and bills, that clearly had some impact on overall transaction volume and growth during 2020. And we do believe it's because there was some disruption to some of those regular bill payments as people struggled to have the funds available to make those payments on time. And, you know, correspondingly, what we saw is, you know, the high levels of growth occurring with internet-initiated consumer debits, which does represent forms of bill payment, but also different kinds of account transfers. Transfers to savings accounts or brokerage accounts or to digital wallets and other type of fintech apps. So, you know, it's kind of a mixed story where I think there's clearly been some impact on bill paying in certain segments of the economy. In others, you know, I think some of the data at the national level says that the savings rate has actually increased and that certain households above certain income levels are actually doing, you know, pretty well and better. Right? So mm-hmm. I think without getting into the policy impacts of what that means and what we should do as a country from a payment system perspective, it certainly does tend to support the idea that there's additional levels of activity and payments and transfers being made that goes along with all that, that results in, you know, the kinds of increases that we see for initiating payments online and moving funds.
Interesting. Yeah. Another line item that sort of popped out for me at least was the incredible increase, what I would call an incredible increase in B2B payments. I'm presuming that a lot of these transfers are moving to ACH from check. And so I think, you know, we're starting to really see, you know, an increase towards electronic payments in the business space, which I think a lot of us have been hoping for a long time, but now we're finally seeing that starting to catch on.
Sarah, I totally agree with you on that point. I think the electronification of business-to-business payments has been one of the under-recognized success stories in the payment system over the past 5 years or so. We know there are some businesses that have struggled to adopt electronic payments and that exists in the small business space as well. But the number of tools that have become available even through, you know, just standard accounting system packages for small and medium businesses, I think has really enabled a broad-based adoption of electronic payments. And then certainly the events of 2020, I think, as I said earlier, it was just a huge, huge incentive for businesses to try to make that move, whether it's because you don't have customers present in person or you don't have accounting people working in person and you don't have the same type of ability to open up the mail every day or put things in the mail every day. There's really been a drive towards how to make those payments electronically. And of course, Nacha as a small organization has experienced that as well. You know, we try to eat our own cooking, as the saying goes, and we've made huge strides even prior to 2020 in paying nearly all of our vendors electronically by ACH credits, but there's always been a couple of holdouts. And you know, the pandemic situation of 2020 was really the condition that, you know, we needed to enable us to convert the last holdouts to 100% electronic payments.
Yeah, and there's a couple of things in there that, like, if we could kind of, I want to really call out in that, particularly within the B2B realm. You know, I think the conversation that I'm really kind of hearing a lot of, especially within the payments ecosystem as a whole, is that, you know, the industry itself was kind of going in this direction in terms of just the digital innovation and kind of the digital transition, so to speak. And we knew as an entire industry that, hey, this is the path we are going to kind of keep moving and inching our way forward. And that COVID-19 really kind of played as the catalyst for that, to kind of bring it up from maybe a 5-year timeline to kind of more of a 1 to 1.5 year timeline here for it. But I am kind of curious, because then the next conversation that really gets brought up around that is, you know, are these trends or are these new behaviors that we're starting to see in the industry, are those going to be permanent, or do we kind of see people, you know, leaning back towards old habits that they had? So I'm curious, Mike, to get from kind of your perspective, what do you see? Do you think that these trends that we're seeing are permanent and just they're kind of going forward from here? Or do you kind of see that there might be some people that kind of go back to the, so to say, old way of doing things?
Well, Ryan, I think my opinion is that these kinds of changes are going to be more longer term and permanent. You know, I think part of the challenge over the years is, you know, you have to get, whether it's consumers or businesses or small businesses or government agencies or nonprofits, to change practices. You know, this is what we spend a lot of time on with education out to the industry, is, you know, trying to convey and quantify the benefits of making a change, but you still have to convince parties it's in their interest to make the change. And now a lot of them have done so. And I surely believe that having done so, it's probably not going to revert, even when our you know, current situation is coming to an end, and, you know, in-person economy can, you know, rev up again. I think, you know, a lot of these changes are going to be more long lasting as, you know, people and businesses are accustomed to new practices and quite honestly, having a better experience in the way they make and receive payments. So I'm optimistic that those types of changes will be longer term.
Yeah, I certainly think I kind of agree with you on that point. Like, I don't see it. I see that the value proposition that's been brought forward, and as you kind of said, and as businesses and consumers alike see the additional value of kind of with the new products and services that are being offered, and as they familiarize themselves with it, I think it's a lasting behavior. I don't think, I think with the length that, unfortunately, that this pandemic has kind of gone through, that from a consumer behavior mindset, that it's the new habits have essentially been built in and kind of ingrained in at this point. It wasn't kind of that this was a quick blip on the map, and therefore it's like, okay, there was a month or two where these would have provided kind of that additional layer of added value. I think more and more people are starting to see, hey, no, the different ways of paying, especially from a digital aspect, have really kind of shown the additional benefit that really cements it in their mind. But now I'd like to shift over towards same day ACH, if we could. You know, I think kind of taking, again, looking at this infographic here, I mean, it looks like it was an absolutely fantastic year for same day ACH as well too. But perhaps you could kind of break down some of those numbers and put it a little bit in context for our audience here.
Yeah, sure, Ryan. Yeah, you know, I would agree with you. It's another, strong year for same day ACH. You know, we've been live out in the marketplace now for over 4 years. Ongoing adoption appears to be robust. We had nearly 350 million same day payments on the ACH network in 2020, moving about $460 billion. And, the interest is still in expanding the capabilities. In 2020, we had the first of a dollar limit increase for same day ACH payments, increasing the allowable limit fourfold from $25,000 per payment to $100,000 per same day payment. And we saw a very immediate impact of that change, where the average amount of an ACH, a same day ACH payment increased by about 40% in just 1 month. And of course, that translated into some very large dollar volume increases on the calendar year. You know, the next the next enhancement, the same day ACH, is now just a little over a month away on March 19th, 2021, when we'll be expanding the available hours for same day ACH every business day, so that there's additional time at the end of the business day to submit same day ACH payments that can still clear and settle on that same business day. And then looking further out into the future, we just closed out a public request for comment on further increases to the same day ACH dollar limit. Again, I think the experience with last year's one was so positive that the industry is again interested in enabling larger dollar flows through the same day capabilities. So our you know, public request for comment just closed. We received over 100 responses from various sectors of the industry, and I'm optimistic that the support is there to move forward on that, you know, sometime, you know, maybe during the first half of this this calendar year in 2021.
Yeah, I think the growth of same day ACH is fascinating. And I have to tell you, Mike, you know, one of the things I do is I put together a forecast for faster real time payment types. And you broke my model. So I had to go back and update it because your growth was much more rapid. And I think in fourth quarter in particular than what I had anticipated. Do you think some of that is coming from the rapid growth in P2P payments? I mean, we've seen a lot of growth in that particular area, and I know that a lot of the fintech P2P apps are using same-day ACH. Is that the use case you think that's driving the growth, or do you think it's across the board, particularly since the volume, transaction volume is increased?
Sarah, I agree that use case is high on the list of the drivers of same-day ACH growth. If I think going back to, let's say, calendar years 2018 and 2019, I think the primary driver of the growth was more on the payroll use case, emergency payrolls, and other types of disbursements to consumers. But in 2020, the largest driver of growth certainly encompassed what I'll just characterize as internet-initiated transactions, both for things like P2P and also other types of account-to-account transfers. So transfers into an online savings account, a brokerage account, a digital wallet, those types of transactions where, you know, speed seems to be, you know, a desirable characteristic of getting your funds into a different account for use. So that encompasses both you know, the credit push type of payment, but also a consumer initiated debit to enable both of those types of transfers.
Yeah, no, Mike, I've certainly got to ask now, because, you know, I'm sure particularly on a lot of Americans' minds right now, you know, as we're kind of seeing the news unfold, when we're talking about a potential another stimulus payment going out here. I know that the ACH network was heavily involved in the last two that went out. And as I think you and I have talked about before, I think seeing that stimulus payment go through the ACH network kind of really showed the industrial strength of the ACH network itself from a network perspective of saying, you know, we received the instructions, they went out as instructed, and there were no hiccups involved in that. But I'm curious to get from your perspective in terms of the level of involvement in terms of stimulus payments kind of going forward and what the outlook is for the ACH network kind of going forward as we look at 2021.
Yeah, Ryan. Yeah, first of all, just to kind of summarize the experience in 2020, and you know that second round of VIPs rolled over right into the new year. You know, the ACH network is really the primary means by which the federal government not only makes payments but also provides assistance out to the you know, the broad economy, to individuals, to homes, to businesses, to, you know, hospitals and so forth. And so we saw a lot of federal government dollars flowing through the ACH network, you know, after the CARES Act passed in late March of 2020. And included in that were economic assistance payments. And of course, there was a second round approved right at the very end of the year in December. And in total, the ACH moved about $225 million economic assistance payments with those two rounds. And in fact, in the second round, the federal government made virtually all of its EIP direct deposits on one day. It was like adding an extra day's volume to the ACH network just in one calendar day in the last week of the year, though. And, you know, the phrase that I use and I heard you use, you know, I think it really shows the industrial strength ability of the ACH network to move massive volumes of payments, you know, to virtually any bank or credit union account in a very, very short period of time. So the experience there was very successful. And of course, you know, just like everyone else, we're tracking what, you know, might happen with you know, a new administration and a new Congress. They seem inclined to continue to provide assistance to the economy and to individuals, with additional EIPs being one form. So, you know, the ACH network is ready. It can handle the volume. It can get the payments delivered on time, exactly as instructed by the IRS. You know, it handles other types of forms of assistance, unemployment benefit payments, assistance directly to medical facilities, to you know, schools and institutes of higher learning. So, you know, when the Congress approves something, you know, we are, along with our network operators and financial institutions across the country, ready and prepared to handle that volume. So clearly that will have an impact on, you know, what happens on the ACH in 2021. Of course, I think the broader impact is that to the extent additional assistance revitalizes the economy, that always has a positive impact on payment systems volume, the ACH included. You know, if payrolls recover, that's more payroll payments. If people can start paying their bills more often and on time, that's more bill payments. So, you know, it has that kind of snowball effect throughout the economy as it starts to recover. And then of course, I think the situation that we've been in with, you know, people and businesses, you know, continuing to need to make payments and to do it remotely or online, I think the year 2021, you know, looks pretty bright for the ACH network.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Mike and Sarah, for taking the time today for speaking to me about kind of a look back at the ACH network in 2020, and then also a look forward to the ACH network in 2021. And I hope to have both of you back on the podcast real soon.
Thank you, Ryan. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks, Ryan.